chapter 21. I started a sermon series 2 weeks ago on entitled Afterlife, and we've been looking at eternity. I began with the idea of eternity in view, and then last week we looked at death and what the Bible has to say about death. This morning we're going to look at a very difficult subject, and that is the topic of hell and what the Bible has to say. Revelation chapter 21 is where we'll be, and we'll study. I have a lot of verses for you this morning, and so get your turning finger ready as we go through these verses here this morning. Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 1. I'll read it together. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there were no more, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Let's pray together. Lord, help us as we study your word together. I pray, Lord, that you would give me grace. I pray that you would hide me behind your cross and give me the words to say. Lord, I understand that a message like this is not popular in our culture, but you teach in your word that we are to preach your word, whether it's in season or out of season. And so, Lord, I pray that you would have your way in our hearts. I pray you would guide and direct our thoughts. And may you be glorified. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. It's hard to ignore, as we study the Bible, the teaching of a place called hell. The Greek word for hell is the word Gehenna. And the word hell or Gehenna means place of misery. Now, I mentioned at the very beginning of this sermon series, and it's important to listen to these messages in order because they do indeed build on each other. And I mentioned at the beginning of the series that Satan and his demons were cast out of heaven. Satan deceived Eve, though Adam chose to disobey God. And because of his sin, the Bible says that Adam and Eve were kicked out of the Garden of Eden, and they were permitted not to take of the tree of life. And from that day, their bodies eventually would die. Adam lived for 930 years, but all of those years, Adam had the threat of death. God did not forsake us, though. As we read in the book of Genesis, he killed an innocent animal, shedding their blood as a picture of the ultimate sacrifice of Christ, and he clothed Adam and Eve's nakedness. He promised that Satan's kingdom would come to an end and that it would be conquered and destroyed by the seed of the woman. And so the devil's time is short. Understand that as we study the Bible, the devil's time is short. When the devil was cast out of heaven, his angels, as the Bible refers to them, or demons, a third fell from heaven. And some of those angels were placed, the Bible teaches us, in a holding cell, awaiting for the day of judgment. 2 Peter teaches us this in chapter 2 and verse 4, For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. So hell, or the bottomless pit, or utter darkness or eternal damnation, understand this thought, was not originally created for humanity, but for the devil and his angels. The devil is not omnipresent, and the devil is not all-knowing. But the devil does know what God has declared. He is no fool. He knows that one day his final destination will be the lake of fire. He knows that his work to condemn humanity would be cut off. And so, knowing his time is near, the devil is busy in our world today. Revelation 12 and verse 12 says, "Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." And so the devil is busy. He's working overtime. He's busy blinding the minds of people all around us every day. Satan wants us to share in his same fate, and that eventually into the lake of fire. He wants humanity to be separated from God for all eternity. You know, the teaching of hell changes on who you ask. The atheist would say, well, there is no God, so there is no hell. Those who ridicule will say, well, there may be a God, but there's no way it's possible people are in hell. And even the religionists would say, well, I believe there is a God, but God is a God of love, and God would not send anyone to hell. Now, this is important for us, because we want to know what the Bible has to say. We want to know what God has to say. And I hope to lay it all out for you as we study this together here this morning. I want us to begin, number one. Our first point is the place called hell. The place called hell. I mentioned that hell was not created for humanity. God created hell as a prison or a holding place for fallen angels. These angels would be too powerful for this world to handle, or too many for this world to hold. And in Revelation chapter 9 and verses 1 to 6, during the fifth trumpet, this bottomless pit would be opened, and these demons would roam and torment the earth. Now, before Christ's resurrection, the Bible talks about Abraham's bosom, or paradise. And the Bible lays out for us that Abraham's bosom, or paradise, and hell were in the same location with a separation, or with a great gulf fixed between them. And we read about this in Luke chapter 16. Now, many people believe that Luke chapter 16 is just a parable and it is not a historical event. But yet, as we study Luke chapter 16, we understand that it's narrated as a real event. And Luke doesn't call it a parable like he does the other parables. And the Old Testament characters are named, which separates it from other parables in the Gospel of Luke. But we have to understand the context of what Jesus is teaching us in this wonderful gospel. And in order for us to do that, we have to go all the way back to Luke chapter 15. Now, Jesus declares in Luke chapter 15 his desire for people. What did the Pharisees care about? Well, they cared about piety more than people. They cared about their religious rituals more than people. And so Jesus gives us three stories in the gospel of Luke chapter 15. There's the story of the lost sheep, there's the story of the lost coin, and there's the story of the lost son. And the lesson in these stories are simple. God cares about people more than he cares about possessions. Why? Because people live forever. Now, as we jump over to Luke chapter 16, Jesus takes it even a step further. He talks about an unjust steward who is going to be fired. And this unjust steward, he saw his dismissal, but he did something about it. The Bible says in Luke 16, verse 5, that he went to all of his debtors and of his master, and he used them all to his advantage. And the Lord commends him for this. He commends him in verse number 8 because the Bible says he had done wisely. Now, the unjust steward realized that he was going to be dismissed, and so he acted upon it. Now, what is the lesson that Jesus is teaching us? Well, as we come to this passage of Scripture, we realize that one day we are all going to die. We're all going to be dismissed from this world. And yet this man did something about that. He properly prepared for this dismissal. And Jesus is teaching us that we have to be properly prepared for death. Now, in Luke chapter 16 and verse 19 is probably the most detailed teaching about hell in the Bible. Let's read it together if we could. Let's turn there. Luke chapter 16 and verse number 19. Notice what the Bible says here. Luke 16 verse 19. Notice what the Bible says. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, and now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And he said, I pray thee therefore, father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come unto this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. You see, the Bible teaches us here that this rich man was more concerned about physical things than spiritual things. Lazarus did not have a lot on this earth, but he was ready to die. And it doesn't take long, as we read Luke chapter 16, for the rich man to stop thinking about the physical things and to start thinking about the spiritual things. Now he is concerned about his brothers. Let's break this all down, if we could, for just a moment. Letter A in our notes. Let's think about the placement of hell. Where is hell located? Well, as we read the Bible and we study the Word of God, the Bible illustrates for us that hell is seen as being in the heart of the earth. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 15, the Bible says, And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. Now, I mentioned already that the Bible speaks of the fact that hell and Abraham's bosom before the resurrection of the Lord Jesus were in the same location, but there was a great gulf fixed between them, or a great divide between them. Paradise is where the thief on the cross was promised to go with Jesus. Jesus said in Luke chapter 23 and verse 43 that today thou shalt be with me in paradise. That is speaking of Abraham's bosom. And so where did Jesus go after the cross? He went to Abraham's bosom and he preached unto those who were in that prison waiting for the resurrection, saying to those Old Testament saints that he was indeed the Messiah, he was indeed the Savior. And so the Bible
Bible says that Jesus led captivity captive, and he brought those into Abraham's bosom. He brought them into the very presence of God. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 9, it says, "And that he ascended." What is it but that he also, Jesus here, descended first into the lower parts of the earth. And so the Bible teaches us that hell is in the lowest part of the earth. We see also, I want us to notice the pain of hell. Now it's interesting because as far as our world is concerned, hell is depicted as, you know, there's the devil who has a red suit and a pitchfork, and he's in hell, and he's kind of the king of hell, and you know, everyone's kind of having a party, and he's kind of in control. And when Hollywood kind of promotes hell, you know, it's the devil that's welcoming people into hell. Listen, understand this: the devil is not in hell right now. He is not in hell right now, and hell is not the devil's domain. Hell is a place of judgment. Hell is a place of torment. And the Bible says that the rich man in Luke chapter 16, who had his priority on material things, was not ready for eternity. And the Bible says that this man died. And notice what the scripture says in Luke 16. The Bible says that he died and he lifted up his eyes in hell. Interesting, the Bible doesn't talk about a purgatory. The Bible doesn't talk about a soul sleep. Immediate was the destination of this man in Luke chapter 16. The Bible says that hell is a place of torment, as described in Luke chapter 16. Hell is described by Jesus over and over and over again as a place of fire. Hell is a place of consciousness and awareness. In Luke 16, 25, Abraham said to the rich man, "Remember," he says, "remember when you were on earth." And so there's awareness and there's consciousness there. He could remember the life that he lived, and he could also remember the decisions that he made. Jesus said in Mark 9, in verse 48, that the worm of hell dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And so hell here speaks of this unending torment in this place. But also I want us to notice in our notes, letter C, the partition of hell. Now Jesus said in Luke chapter 16 in verse 26 that there was a great gulf fixed. An interesting statement that he mentions here. And what Jesus is saying is that after death, our destiny is fixed. After death, our destiny is fixed. We cannot leave. We cannot switch. We are separated from the presence of God until the resurrection. Now, notice what the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 1 in verse 9. The Bible says, "Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord." You know, think about our world today, and we understand everything that's happening in our world today. Our world's a mess. But understand that even in the gloom of this world today, and our world is a pretty dark place, the light of the gospel still shines. And the hope of the gospel is still around us. The goodness of God is everywhere in this world. And yet in hell, the goodness of God will be gone. And the glory of God will not be seen. I think the greatest torment and terror of hell is the separation of all that God is in this place. And so we notice this place called hell. But hell is not the final destination of the unjust. I want us to notice number two, the place called the lake of fire. The place called the lake of fire. Now, the lake of fire and hell are two different destinations. I know that a lot of people put them together and preachers kind of combine them. But the reality is the Bible is very clear. These are two different destinations. Hell is a holding cell until the unsaved stand before Christ. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2 says this, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt." Now, we know from what the Bible teaches us that those who sleep in Jesus, when the rapture occurs, that the dead in Christ shall rise first. And the Bible calls this the first resurrection. The first resurrection. And we want to be a part of the first resurrection, by the way. I want you to turn with me to Revelation chapter 20. This is a pinnacle verse here. It's such an important verse that we have to use to distinguish these two resurrections. Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 6. Revelation 20 and verse number 6. Notice what the Bible says here. Verse number 6. Revelation chapter 20 and the 6th verse. It says, "Blessed and holy is he," look at this, "that have part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So the Bible teaches us that the first resurrection are those who are asleep in Jesus. But the unsaved will also have a resurrection, but not a resurrection unto life. Acts chapter 24 and verse 15, the Bible says this, "And have hope toward God that they themselves also allow that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and on the unjust." The justified and the unjustified. And the justified are those who believe in Jesus. The justified are those who have salvation in Christ. And so the message here that we're focusing on, next week we're going to look at heaven and we're going to break it all down. But this week we're looking at the unjust. And what does the Bible say about this resurrection? They have a physical body. And then in Revelation 20 and verse 12, notice letter A, a great white throne. John saw the dead stand before God. And verse 12 of chapter 20, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." In a physical body, in a physical presence, the Bible says they are standing before God. And notice what John says. He says, "I saw the dead, both small and great." Now, that's not talking about physical structure here. It's talking about those with great influence and those with little influence. We're talking about what our world would call peasants and what our world would call presidents. And they're all standing before God. And illustrated here wonderfully is the fact that all of these people don't know Christ as their Savior. And remember, the Bible says that these are the people who were more interested in the world and not eternity. These are the rich man in Luke chapter 16 who was more concerned about the physical life and not the afterlife. And so the Bible says in Revelation 20 and verse 11, "And I saw a great white throne." And John says, "And him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away." And the Bible says there was found no place for them. The earth is gone. And everything that they live for, all the things their life was wrapped up in, is now gone. And it's just them and God. Just them and God. By the way, let me say this. In Revelation chapter 20, there are no atheists at this point. It's just them and God. Standing before the Creator God, and we notice letter B, the books are opened. The book of life is opened, which records all those who trusted in Christ for their salvation. And the Bible says that it really, as the books are open, it helps us to understand we're talking about those who have rejected Christ as their Savior. The book of life is opened, and many will plead their case in that day. Many will stand before them and stand before God, and they'll say why they deserve eternal life. In fact, the Bible actually gives us some understanding in that. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 7. Would you turn there? Matthew chapter 7. And notice what the Bible says in verse 21. Matthew chapter 7 in verse 21. And the Bible says this, verse 21, "And not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven,
But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. That day in chapter 7 of Matthew is Revelation chapter 20. And Jesus said, I never knew you. Only those who have done the will of my Father. And friend, listen to me. If you don't get anything from this message this morning, get this. The only way that we will ever go to heaven is to do the will of the Father. You say, Pastor Burns, please tell me what is God's will for my life. Turn to John chapter 6, please. John chapter 6. And notice what the Bible says here. John chapter 6 and verse number 40. John chapter 6 and verse number 40. The Bible says this. Jesus speaking in verse 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. God's will is that we would come to Jesus for eternal life. And here's a man who says, Lord, I've done all of these things, all of these religious acts. I've even cast out demons in your name. And Jesus said, I never knew you. Only he that doeth the will of my Father. I want us to notice letter C in our notes this morning. They are cast into the lake of fire. Revelation chapter 20, verse 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Revelation 20, verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Hell is a holding cell for the resurrection, and the lake of fire is the final destination of all who reject Christ as their Savior. Jesus taught this over and over again. Matthew 25 and verse 41. The Bible says, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, unto everlasting fire. Now notice this expression, prepared for the devil and his angels. How wasn't created? The lake of fire was not created for humanity, but for the devil and his angels. The Bible says here, it is the final destination of all who reject Christ. But there's another thought we have to look at. That's letter D. We cannot miss the fact, the Bible says, that they are judged according to their works. All who stand before God on that day will be judged according to their works. Revelation 20, verse 12. The Bible says, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. They are unsaved. Why does the Bible say that they are judged according to their works? Well, this is what I believe. I believe the Bible teaches us that in the lake of fire, it speaks of different degrees of punishment that people will receive. I want us to turn to a couple scriptures here. Would you turn to the book of Luke in verse number 12? In our Bibles together. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. And notice what Jesus is teaching here. Luke chapter 12. And I want us to notice the focus here because this is so important. Luke chapter 12 and verse 47. Luke chapter 12, verse 47. The Bible says, and that servant which knew the Lord's will. Now remember, we're talking about the will of the Father here, right? To come to Christ. And notice here how the story is told for us. That servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself. Now remember, Luke 15 and Luke 16 is a simple principle. Being ready for death. The rich man was not ready. Lazarus was ready. And how do we know that we're ready? We do the will of the Father. We come to Jesus for salvation. And so the Bible says that he knew the Lord's will, but he prepared himself not, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes,
But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. You know, I believe the unsaved, all those who reject Jesus Christ as their Savior, their final destination will be the lake of fire. But the Bible says that there's a greater condemnation to those who have been given light, but reject that light. Isn't that what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 15? As he stood around the Pharisees and the Jews that had seen the very miracles of Jesus, they saw Jesus raise the dead. They saw Jesus heal blinded eyes and a lame man walk. He said in Matthew 10, verse 15, "Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in that day of judgment than for that city, Capernaum, because of the light that had been given to them." Can you imagine standing before God one day? The earth is passed away, and friend, it is just you and God, and rehearsing all of the times in your life that you rejected the gospel, that you rejected the light that God has given to you, that you openly said no to his love, that you openly said no to his message. John said that the judgment is because light has come into the world, but men have rejected that light because they love darkness rather than light. I don't know if King Agrippa got saved. The Bible doesn't say that he did. But can you imagine one day standing before God the Creator when King Agrippa said in Acts chapter 26 and verse 28, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Almost. Can you imagine standing before God? Almost. Coming to Jesus. Judas saw the miracles of Jesus. Judas Iscariot. But he was too focused on money. He was too focused on himself and the world. And he missed the vital message of eternity. And the Bible says in the book of Acts that he died and went to his own place. His own place. Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21 that it would be better for someone who didn't come to the Lord Jesus to not have known the way than to stand before God one day and to reject the gospel. Why? Because we are accountable to God. We are accountable to God. Let me give you my third message and I'll be done, I promised. The heart of God. The heart of God. Now Jesus, speaking to the Pharisees, said this about their sin. In John chapter 8 and verse 24, the Bible says, "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. If ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." To die in our sins is to be separated from God forever. Jesus died for the whole world. That's a wonderful blessing. He shed his blood for every individual. He tasted death for every man. And at the moment that we trust Jesus Christ for salvation, his righteousness is put to our account, and we are free from our sin debt. We become a child of God. But Jesus is saying to die in your sins is to follow the devil to a Christless eternity. But here's the important message in the heart of God, and don't miss this. God doesn't want anyone to go to hell. He doesn't want anyone to go to hell. Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 11, the Bible says, God speaking, "I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked." Listen to me, God loves you, and God died for you and wants you to be his child. Would you come to Jesus today for salvation? Please, friend, do not reject his love. Do not reject his message. The devil is real, and the devil is doing everything in his power to keep you
from becoming a Christian. The Bible says in Luke chapter 8 and verse 12, those by the wayside are they that hear. This is speaking about the seed of the Word of God that's being planted right now. Right now, the seed of the Word of God is being planted. And yet the Bible says, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. The devil doesn't want you to believe. The devil doesn't want you to come to Christ. But don't follow the way of the devil, because he's a liar. Don't follow the way of the devil, because he doesn't love you. He doesn't love you. The hymn writer said this, and I'll be done. Oh, sinner, won't you come to the Savior tonight? He's anxiously waiting to bring you to the light. He offers you and me his pardon, full and free. Oh, sinner, come to Jesus now. Oh, hear his loving voice. 'Tis Jesus calling you. Believe him, and thy soul shall live. His pardon, full and free. Oh, can it ever be? Yes, sinner, 'tis for you and me. Come to Jesus today, because he loves you. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, thank you.